Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It has been a day of chaos, confusion, and questions about our democracy. The U.S. Capitol stormed today by pro-Trump protesters. The question we are now asking ourselves, what has happened to America on one of the most important days in our history? We're going to break it all down tonight, and I want to hear from Americans tonight, because that's who we're talking to. This is about this country. Our country, your country. To help me get through this, Dr. Greg Carr, chair of the Afro-American Studies Department here at Howard University, and Timothy Williams. He's a police procedure and use of force expert, as well as a wrongful conviction expert. But you, the American people tonight listening to this program, are truly the experts, the voters, those who didn't vote, those who are patriotic, those who are not patriotic, but those who live here, many of us, watching the TV today, listening to the radio, we were awestruck. Lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Carr and Tim Williams, thank you both for joining the conversation. I appreciate you on this really important day.
Well, thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you, brother.
Dr. Carr, the question, what has happened to America? Your thoughts on what you saw today.
Well, certainly no one paying attention should have been surprised by this. Donald Trump has been threatening to foment the events we saw today for months. There was absolutely no surprise today. And for those who were expressing shock and surprise at the actions of the Capitol Police and law enforcement today on Capitol Hill, they shouldn't be surprised either. Certainly, if they had wanted to stop those people from going into the Capitol, they could have. And they didn't. 13 senators and over 100 representatives in the House of Representatives said that they were going to argue against voting to confirm the validated election from the state in the Electoral College counting process. Ted Cruz began this morning by co-signing the Arizona congressman who brought up the objection, and they split into the two houses. Josh Hawley was prepared to follow him. Kelly Loeffler, who will be leaving the Senate, said she was going to challenge Georgia. So what you saw today was a coup d'etat. If you watch the President of the United States' remarks this afternoon at the Ellipse across from the White House, he told those people to go over there and even implied that he would meet them there. It's absolutely no surprise, Harold. And anyone saying that they are surprised is either saying they haven't been paying attention or they're being dishonest. I'll leave it at that for my initial comment.
Mr. Williams, what happened on Capitol Hill today?
Well, what happened from my perspective as a police procedures expert and having spent a good portion of my adult life working in the criminal justice system, what you saw was bad leadership, bad planning. They knew they were coming, and there was no plans to stop it. Now, you look at when they had demonstrations of Black Lives Matter, the police had police, so to speak. They had, you know, the armament and everything else, rubber bullets, tear gas, and everything else. And these were for the most part peaceful demonstrations. You have what you saw today was not a peaceful demonstration. That was a riotous crowd, took over a government building. You had the power of your sitting government was in session when this happened, with your vice president, your Speaker of the House, all these successions, individuals in succession for to power, were in under one building, and all of a sudden this building was taken over by this by these individuals. I call it an insurrection. I call it a riot. It was not that what we saw today was not a protest, not at all. And you have that's why I talk about it in my book about way how individuals, different types of groups of people are dealt with differently. You have a majority of a white group that was dealt differently. You didn't see the tear gas you saw some tear gas, but you didn't see the tear gas that was put on the Black Lives Matter demonstrations. You didn't see the rubber bullets that were used in the Black Lives Matter demonstrations that should have been used here. So there is a different type of approach, and what you see is bad leadership. They should have been prepared for this, and they were not. They knew it, but they knew they were coming, and they weren't prepared.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the historic and horrific events today on Capitol Hill in our city, Washington, D.C., pro-Trump protesters storming the U.S. Capitol, breaching the doors in the Senate, in the House, in the chambers, in the offices of the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. What do you think? What happened today? I want to hear what you have to say. Let me go to Dee. Dee, calling from Arlington, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, and I am in Arlington, and we're on lockdown because these people, which I didn't know and my neighbors didn't know, are here at our hotel. And so we just found out around 3 or 4 this afternoon, everybody's upset, and we're really upset over here. So I'm starting off by saying that everybody's at home, locked up tight, and now we're wondering if there's going to be super spreaders that are going to put COVID in our community after we've been working very hard to, you know, keep it at a minimum. So I'm distressed on that level. I'm distressed because these are terrorists that have come in and at Trump's urging have started a coup where they went on federal land and threatened our federal politicians, including the vice president, with harm, bodily harm. And they weren't just armed with guns, from what I understand. They also had tear gas and maybe other weapons. And they were treated with kid gloves. And if it had been black people or anybody, right? If it had been Asians, if it had been Middle Eastern, if it had been anyone else, they would have been shot on sight. These people were climbing the walls like monkeys and entering into the building and threatening the people that are supposed to be that we're supposed to be doing official electorate business.
Yeah,
This is treason, and it's over, and it's what I consider to be treasonous. I don't understand why they're treated with kid gloves, and it's distressing, and it's embarrassing.
Dee, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing that bit of information with us, because not only Arlington, but also Alexandria is under a curfew from 6 tonight until 6 a.m. Also, Virginia is under a state of emergency that was imposed by Governor Ralph Northam this afternoon, kind of paralleling what we have seen in the District of Columbia and that curfew imposed by D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. So, Dee, thank you very much. And also, before I go back to the phone lines, just a couple of other things that have developed just over the past hour or so. We've seen that the members of Congress have been removed, obviously, from Capitol Hill. They are at Fort McNair. They are going to continue the Electoral College count tonight. And what we're hearing is that they are expected to finish it tonight. Also, this coming out of Capitol Hill today, Representative Ilhan Omar is drafting articles of impeachment against President Trump, blaming him and his supporters for the insurrection on Capitol Hill today. She is asking that he be removed from office immediately. A lot of that information coming down. Also, there has been a stabbing or at Freedom Plaza. I believe we don't have a lot of details about that, but as that information becomes available, we will bring it to you. Let me go to Johnny. Johnny, calling from D.C. Yes. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. Your guest speaker and the former speaker, Ms. D, has pretty much said everything that's going through my mind. The president, and then even here living in D.C., Mayor Bowser knew this was coming. You know, she gave a curfew for the residents of D.C., but you didn't build a wall to protect the Capitol when you knew, and he had, and the president had already stated that this is what he wants. We are not going away quietly. So therefore, why didn't she reinforce? Now, the problem with me is that we have policemen with body cams that are killing young black men and all, but yet no cameras saw them charging these police where these police didn't draw their weapons to defend the Capitol or defend themselves. The privilege are they. So therefore, this situation is being handled totally different from the Black Lives Matter protest.
Okay.
Those are my comments on what I see is going on now.
Johnny, thank you so much. We don't know what the U.S. Capitol Police have seen. This is still happening. And so we don't know what kind of video may be available. He may be right. But right now, I think it's too early to speak on that. Also, Tim, if you could kind of piggyback a little bit on, you know, the kind of responsibility that is that of D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and the U.S. Capitol. Let me just say that the U.S. Capitol Police, that's their jurisdiction. Now, outside of the Capitol grounds, yes, but that's federal land. So, Tim, I wouldn't jump on the mayor too tough right now.
Well, the mayor has no control on what happens on federal property, but there's law enforcement leadership on federal land, and they should have gotten some federal mutual aid in there. You got Homeland Security, you got just like you saw in the Lafayette Square. You had all these federal police that were there. You should have had them deployed in the Capitol building today. You know, with the mayor, you have mutual aid. You have Virginia next door. You have Maryland. You have state police. You bring all those resources in. And you have them on this standby and ready to go if needed. You know, have them deployed in the staging area. That's what needed to be done.
So let me come to the mayor's defense again.
Of course,
because yesterday, most of the conversation was about possibly shutting down Black Lives Matter Plaza, which did happen. Also, the security around Freedom Plaza,
mm-hmm.
right in front of the district building. I'm showing my age here. But because we have not seen this kind of activity, number one, there have been two Trump rallies over the past 60 days or so, and they stayed around the White House. And while I would argue that, yes, a lot of the activity that they were going to be protesting was at the U.S. Capitol, we've never seen anything like this before.
Well, let me make a comment.
Go ahead. You know,
I'm on the West Coast, but I've read that there was a hotel or hotels in D.C. that shut down.
The Harrington Hotel, yes.
Because they did not want to house the
Proud Boys,
the Proud Boys, and the white supremacists in their hotels. Now, apparently, in Alexandria and other outlining cities or states that's close to D.C., they didn't do that. Number one, number two, anytime you have something like this that's going on, you have to plan. You have to plan for the worst-case scenario. And the mayor, you know, I don't know what her planning session, how she planned, but you have to plan with local law enforcement. You have to plan for mutual aid. You have to plan for the National Guard, which she did deploy or call in, and I give her that. She was sharp on that, and that was called in. But the thing is that, and again, I'm giving you 47 years worth of experience that dealing with this stuff, is that, you know, you've got to plan, you got to have them in place, and when things get out of hand, calling them in is too late. You see how long it took to get resources in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the time they got in there, guess what happened? It's dark.
Yeah.
Now you got other issues to deal with. So the thing is that, you know, there is planning for this. The hotels knew what they were going to do, and they didn't open up.
Yeah.
D.C.
Yeah.
So you've got to have that. If you got to plan for the worst case scenario, and guess what happened? The worst case scenario happened.
Dr. Carr, I got a tweet from SETI, and SETI says, "Why are they called protesters instead of domestic terrorists?" When you look at it, the working definition for domestic terrorists are people who seek to cause destruction based on political or religious views. That seems to be pretty accurate to me. But then you can call them seditionists. You can call them what other kinds of names we could probably come up with them. Insurgents, rioters, a mob. Your thoughts about how we define this group?
Well, I think there are a number of people who will call them freedom-loving defenders of America. There's no excuse, and there's going to be no postmortem. And I appreciate you having Tim on to walk us through this. If they wanted to stop this, it would have been stopped. These people have been coming into the region for at least 2 days, and those of us who have been getting phone calls and texts and emails saying that these people have been landing at BWI plane takeovers at Dulles and Washington National and coming in. And, you know, if we know about it, then damn it, the entire surveillance apparatus of the state, local, and federal government knew. They allowed a white riot. This wasn't just a riot. It was a white riot. Why? They were protected by the Capitol Police. D.C. asked to expand the D.C. National Guard's responsibilities, and they were rejected by the Department of Defense this afternoon before they reversed course. The Capitol Police are in league with the white riot. If they had, well, you mean tell me that you can't stop somebody from coming in the Capitol with the entire federal legislature in session? The answer to that is, of course you can.
Yeah.
But these are white people.
Dr. Carr, hold your point, because I want you to finish your point on the other side, and I have some thoughts about it, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. We're going to take a break, but we want to remind our listeners that you can download the Quiet Storm app on your smartphone and hear the entire Daily Drum from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. without interruption live right on your smartphone, the Quiet Storm app. Don't forget to do that. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. And 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on SiriusXM, Channel 141 in 5 seconds, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Chaos, confusion, and questions about democracy. The U.S. Capitol stormed by pro-Trump rioters today. What has happened to America? That's the question that we are asking today. My guests are Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of the Afro-American Studies Department here at Howard University, and Timothy Williams, a police procedure and security expert. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or Harold T. Fisher on Instagram. Dr. Carr, I want you to finish your point. I just wanted to add, when we were reporting on this today, one of the things that I said that I expected that before they breached the doors at the U.S. Capitol, I assumed, and obviously incorrectly, that once that happened, someone was going to get shot as soon as they crossed the threshold. And
exactly.
As you were saying, that did not happen.
No, it did not. No, it did not. In fact, you know, it's interesting, citizen journalism, where everybody got a smartphone. I've been looking, and you may have seen some, too. You may have seen it as well, of footage of Capitol Police removing barriers and allowing folks to come in. I've seen footage on Instagram of Capitol Police taking selfies with members of this mob. So let's be very clear. This is an indictment of the entire Capitol Police force. In fact, I saw one Instagram post of a black officer, one of the few on that little fascist crew called the Capitol Police, who was literally fleeing the mob as it came up the steps because he was by himself with a baton.
So let's be very clear. He ran two floors up.
Yeah, yes. Did you see that, Tim?
I saw it.
So, please, brother, because I'm really interested in hearing about this from you. It's very interesting seem to me, and you really framed this. If you've got the Speaker of the House, you've got the entire federal legislature, and you've got the Vice President of the United States, that means that you can stop anybody you want from coming in that building. This isn't a breach. This isn't a lapse. This isn't a lack of preparation. They decided that they were going to let these white boys blow off steam. They've been threatening it for months. 1 month ago when they lost the election, they have lost 61 lawsuits in the state and federal courts, and the President of the United States stood in front of the plate across the street from the White House and called for a coup d'etat today, which was allowed. Period.
Let me say this.
Real
let
quick, Tim, this. And then I'm going to go to the phone lines. Go
when
ahead.
When I was in law enforcement, when we came to D.C., we couldn't carry guns in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more in law enforcement. All right, and because of the seat of power. Now, there was reported that there were folk that were armed, that breached into the building. They were armed. There was reports that were shots fired. There was reports that there was two or three devices that were found that had to be disarmed because they could have been explosive-type devices. And then there was a woman that was killed. Now, all this stuff going on in the power seat of this country, do you realize, this reminds me of Olympus is Falling. If you've seen that movie, the whole seat of government was destroyed and only one person was left standing. You see, and this what this we remind me of, and this was, you know, they were going to areas that they knew where they were. Apparently, they knew where they were going because there was no law enforcement there to deal with that. And the problem that I have is this lone black officer. Where was his backup? The backup didn't come till he got to the second or third level after he was being chased by this white guy, and then the white officers came and backed him up, about three or four of them.
Yeah.
Well, if he had to hit him with that baton, then there'd be a whole other different discussion. Mm-hmm. Or they would have taken that baton from him and beaten him because there was about five or six people behind the one guy that was chasing him.
Yeah. That's right.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lee, calling from Southeast D.C. Lee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I mean, I am so angry right now with this. It is ridiculous to sit here and watch how easily the Capitol was breached with both houses in session. Do they understand? I'm former military. Do they understand the long-term consequences of what they just did? To have any of the enemies watching and giving them ideas as to how easy it could be to take control of your seat of power with both houses in session, it's just astounding. And the gentleman was right because I was talking to a friend. I said, you know what, for like the last month, Olympus has fallen, which was just on over the weekend. It's been on that Olympus has fallen, London has fallen. All of those have been playing within the last multiple times. I'm like, this is going to have long-term consequences for what ideas you have just given the nuts out there as to how potentially easy you're going to make them think it is to breach and take over this. There needs to be some serious consequences and repercussions behind this. The ones responsible for this, those walking around that you can identify because they're doing this stuff so comfortably and not wearing masks, they need to be found and prosecuted.
Yeah.
They did a whole bunch of prosecutions doing and mass arrests during the Black Lives Matter. Where is all that moxie now?
Yeah. Lee, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Willis, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
I'm calling just to say that what you saw today was white privilege at its best.
Or worse.
White privilege at its best. And as a veteran, that I feel that once they breached the rotunda door, then they had every right to shoot and protect the Constitution of the United States. You are supposed to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. And when you got both houses of Congress in session, the power of government in session, you let them people storm that building that night, that was not defending and protecting the Constitution of the United States.
No. Thank you so much, Willis. I appreciate your phone call. You know, I think the thing that is, you know, most troubling to me has to do with just how far they got in. It's one thing to breach the door. And as Tim said, the U.S. Capitol Police were caught flat-footed. But there's that picture of a man sitting at the desk of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, with his feet on her desk. There is someone, a picture of someone sitting in the House chamber, at where the Speaker sits, claiming President Trump won the election. This is the stuff of Banana Republic. This is the stuff of fiction, but not so much because it did happen today. This was surreal. It was really surreal. But politically, Dr. Carr, where are we now? And maybe it's too early to ask, but politically, with the two Democratic wins in Georgia, as we move toward Inauguration Day, look into your crystal ball. Tell me where we are.
Well, don't need a crystal ball, brother. All we have to do is look at history. The majority of white people in Georgia yesterday voted for Ossoff and Warnock. I'm sorry, voted against Ossoff and Warnock. Just like the majority of white people in this country who voted for Donald J. Trump. By winning those two seats, the Democrats are now in a position to push their policy agenda, which ironically will, if enacted fully, benefit many of the people who voted against the Democratic Party. This is entirely about race.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone saying they were surprised today must not have been paying attention when 140 members of the federal legislature, including House and Senate, in the White Nationalist Party, I don't call them the Republican Party, definitely the White Nationalist Party, signed an amicus brief to the Supreme Court of the United States asking the court to invalidate the federal election. These people have not only signaled their content, they have engaged in behavior that, if you as a strict interpretation of the United States Constitution, would tell you is an act of treason. It is an insurrection act. What we saw today was not only predictable, it is what you would have expected. So what we can see going forward, I think, is this. Whether Merrick Garland is the Attorney General, Vanita Gupta comes back to the Department of Justice, for example, Kristen Clark maybe over the Civil Rights Division if news reports are accurate, we need to see an immediate prosecution. And the prosecutions won't just be all the people they caught on surveillance, because, they, as you say, the place is filthy with surveillance cameras. These prosecutions might and should include a criminal investigation and potential prosecution of the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the actions of today, not to mention the actions of these sitting elected federal officials who declared their intent to subvert the federal election. So I think finally, with these two seats,
immediately, the Biden-Harris agenda must include getting immediate relief to the American people, beginning with those $2,000 checks, but continuing, and then pushing all the policy agendas, the George Floyd Act, the John Lewis Act, and there can be no middling and no mealy-mouthing and no reaching across the aisle BS from the incoming president of the United States, and that finally includes blowing up the filibuster. You just got to get to a simple majority now in the United States Congress. And the Vice President of the United States has to break these ties, which means you have to keep Joe Manchin in line. But that's what has to happen next, brother. You cannot give a quarter inch to this type of white nationalism.
And I think, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned this, because just yesterday, and I'm sure you've seen it, the Justice Department is seeking to pare back civil rights protections for minorities.
Yeah, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which created the idea of disparate impact, so that you or I, if we were discriminated against in housing or for a mortgage or something like that, or on the job, we wouldn't have to necessarily demonstrate it happened to us, but we could show that this is a pattern by which members of our group, race, sex, gender, have been discriminated against. That is Bill Barr. The last act he did as Attorney General. That's his parting middle finger
yes.
to the American people.
To people of color.
Yes.
Particularly people of color. You can talk about Proud Boys. You can talk about the N-word. You can talk about systematic racism. But that is institutional. That would have been codified. That's codified racism. And when I saw that pop up last night, that was a clutch my pearls moment, in the sense that I said, well, here we go. We have less than 3 weeks before power changes. And yet this administration is still trying to stick it to people of color.
Yeah.
And it's very disturbing. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Chuck calling from Illinois.
Guys.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Glad. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Very, very interesting, very deep topic. You know, at first I called in, wanted to discuss today's actions, sedition, treason, absolute embarrassment. But what we've touched on just over the past 30 seconds, more of a minute, the doctor's very knowledgeable on, and we appreciate his knowledge. So there's a lot more deeper things going on. Okay, I'm a white man, 44 years old. I grew up in Western Kentucky. I grew up in an age where, very fortunate that I don't even know how to put it. I guess I didn't see a lot of racism. All right. First of all, I'm white, so how am I going to see it? But when I had friends, when I went over a friend's house, when I had friends over my house, we played on the Centauri League baseball team. I didn't see it. Did other parents and other children? Probably did. But it's interesting. It is very interesting when you look at what you were just talking about. You know what? I think of the have and the have not. Okay? You're exactly right. There is a power in this country that are going to keep people down. People of color, people of minority. And it's a huge, strong power. And that power comes from the people that marched on the Capitol today. You mentioned 61 lawsuits tossed out the window. He lost on election day. Who is surprised by the actions of these radicals? It's been building. And I can tell you point blank, I've got family members that are, you know, in their 60s, 70s. They don't watch anything but one channel. I'm not even going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole demeanor has changed. I don't want to use the word crazy, but they've lost their marbles.
Yeah.
And I'm frustrated. I know you have been probably your whole life. Mm. What we saw today was an embarrassment, an attack on democracy. I don't know. I was, you know, listen, I'm a registered Republican. I didn't vote. I voted for John Kasich in the primary. He got beat. I didn't vote. Now, I don't really have a right to talk, but I have some hope now.
Well, Chuck,
Biden come in. I'm excited.
Well, Chuck, let me say, when you talk about your frustration, you say, you know, you're from Kentucky. I'll just say you can always move back and make sure that your vote counts. And and that's all I'm going to say about that.
I've been preaching that for years, and I'm frustrated.
Speaking of Kentucky, thank you so much, Chuck. We are going to hear from Mitch McConnell. He'll be speaking at 8 o'clock. Speaking of Mitch McConnell, this was interesting that before all of the rioting began, we heard this from the head of the Senate today.
We're debating a step that has never been taken in American history, whether Congress should overrule the voters and overturn a presidential election.
Good speech, but really late. Really, really late. I was listening to that today, and I was just wondering, who is speaking? Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jesse, yep, calling from Quincy, Florida, North Florida, just south of Tallahassee. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing this evening?
Doing just fine.
My comment is, and I'm pretty sure most of you gentlemen here are aware, but Donald Trump is really smart. A lot of people think he's stupid, but not stupid, that's harsh of a word, but ignorant. But he's really smart. And today's actions, I don't think was necessarily to elicit a response of overturning the election, but this is long-term planning on his behalf. He's looking at 2022, 2024. What today's actions was, I believe, in my opinion, I think was more so of a stress test to see where the weak points are. Because he's not going to be doing the same things that he's doing today 2 years, 4 years from now, because that's already covered. He's trying to cover more ground. So he's not going away. We're going to be living with Donald Trump for a very long time. He may not be the president, but he's going to have a definite vocal opinion in the mass media.
Well, I appreciate that, Jesse. I will say, at least for the next 12 hours, we will not be hearing from President Trump via Twitter. Twitter has shut down his account for at least the next 12 hours because of the falsehoods that he has been tweeting, including that one-minute video that he tweeted to his supporters today, again claiming that the election was stolen.
Can I say something?
Please go right ahead.
Last caller.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to see what Trump has done these past 4 years. But, you know, I think, Dr. King, I'll paraphrase it. If we're not students of history, we will repeat the mistakes of the past. All you had to do was go back and see what Trump has done. The Central Park Five, the housing, the list goes on and goes on and goes on. And so what he's doing is not new. See, we as a people, we don't read, we don't study. We're not historians. We make the same. We look at him and he say, okay, well, you know, that was then, but no, you look at these shows like Jay Leno and other shows. They say, let's talk to the people on the street. When President Obama was president, they talked to the average citizen on the street. They didn't even know that he was president. You see. That's how ignorant some our country is in some areas. So the thing is that we don't look at what he's done. I mean, this is not a surprise.
Yeah.
If you had to look at his past, you could predict what he's going to do.
Let me go to Leroy. Leroy calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Leroy. What's on your mind?
So beautiful what you was talking about, and going back to the past for Donald Trump. I know this was coming when he was saying, lock her up. If you remember 4 years ago when he was running for the election with Hillary Clinton, he said, lock her up. For what? You have any proof? We know this was coming 4 years ago. I know it was coming 4 years ago. And he'd been barking like a dog. I'm glad his account was closed. If you listen to one song by Kenneth Gamble and Leon Huff, the OJs, backstabbers, he is a perfect example of a backstabber.
Yeah.
Also, he's also a perfect example of a dog that go in the house and start barking at night. And you got all the dogs barking, and you need an army to quiet them down. Today is a good example of that. He was barking to cause trouble, not to help people.
Leroy, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kim calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling, Kim. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call, Harold.
Sure.
I was so angry today, I could not get any work done. I could not believe what I was watching. I have lived here for over 30 years. I'm a transplant from another state. From
Where are you from? What other state?
I am from Buffalo, New York.
I used to live there. We're going to have to chat, but go ahead. Yeah.
But, you know, I only can say this. Hillary tried to tell us. Denise tried to tell us. Everybody tried to tell us. And for black people who sit there and say that they don't vote because their vote doesn't matter, this is the result of you not voting. Voting matters. Voting matters. And for anyone who thinks that this is over, I've got news for you. They have been waiting and they have been watching. And for them to even think about coming into our city and doing this is a disgrace. And I still say there, this was an inside job. The Capitol Police letting people walk in. You can't even take a tour of the Capitol without going through the mags.
Yeah.
You can't take a tour without going through the mags. These people walked in as if they owned the place. It was disgraceful.
It really was. It really was. It was quite a shock. It was a shock because we've just never seen the likes of that before. Kim, thank you so much for
9/11 was horrific.
Yeah, excellent point, Kim. Thank you so much for giving us a call. I don't want to miss one really important point. This is almost a footnote, Dr. Carr, to what happened today, and this was to be the original subject that we were to talk about, which was the new face of white nationalism, the Proud Boys, the KKK for 2021. How are they different from the domestic racist terrorists of America's history, if at all?
Well, I think they're different in the sense that they are now fully aided and abetted by the government. When you see the Ku Klux Klan Acts, 1870-1871, the formation of the Department of Justice in 1870 in the Grant administration, going after the Klan, which was founded 4 years earlier in 1866 in Pulaski, Tennessee, you see them declare the Ku Klux Klan, many of whom at their origin were ex-Confederate soldiers, led by Nathaniel Bedford Forrest, who was an ex-Confederate officer. They were seen as enemies of the United States. Fast forward 70 years, and what you see is the Proud Boys have been coddled. They have been enabled. And the President of the United States looked the other way as a plot to kidnap and perhaps murder the governor of a state was hatched and then discovered. The President of the United States then told the same Proud Boys to stand back and stand by in a public debate with no repercussions. And so now what we see is, and then today, law enforcement stood aside and allowed the taking of the capital of the country. So what we see, the difference, the major difference is that these people, many of whom, and I'd be very interested, Tim, hearing your thoughts about this, because all the reports I've read, all the people I've listen to, particularly in law enforcement, talk about the fact that there is a disproportionate number of open white supremacists who are seated throughout state, local, and federal law enforcement. I think that's the major difference. They're on the same team, brother.
Hmm.
Well, let me say this. I was a black man in uniform in law enforcement. I had to fight racism within the department.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this again. I had to fight racism within the department, and then serve the citizens who were paying my salary, dealing with the issues on the street. So I had a double issues that I was dealing with. And we were part of the national, I was the local president of the Oscar Joel Bryan Association. That was the Black Law Enforcement Association. I was a member of the National Black Police Association and on the National Board of Directors. So we were dealing with, blacks were dealing with this nationwide. Mm. Nationwide. We, as black peace officers, we marched against police departments because of the racism.
Yeah.
But you don't hear about that in the news.
Wow.
You don't hear about this within the 70s and the 80s. In the 90s, I went to Manchester, England, and lectured, and we marched through the communities, blacks from all over the United, all over the world, in law enforcement, marched in the communities because of the treatment we received within law enforcement. So that's a whole brand. That's a whole different discussion.
Yeah, indeed. So
a
indeed.
Whole different discussion.
Let me take one final call, Chris, calling from Oakland, California. Quickly, what's on your mind?
My hometown.
Chris, go right ahead, real quick.
I was calling in reference to Donald Trump. Someone said he's smart. It doesn't take much to be a racist to be smart. That's not being smart. That's being an asshole.
Mm.
And also, the fact of it is, he should be charged with anarchy of his own government. And if we don't stay woke, it's going to repeat itself. That film that's called, she was in, it was called, when they were on the plantation, it was today's time, it's going to happen again. If we don't stay woke, we'll be back on the plantation.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call, Chris. You definitely stay woke. I can only say, as we look at today, somehow, some way, maybe, we've had a chance to see part of the worst of this country. Maybe tomorrow we can start to see some of the best, but that means more of us need to pay attention. More of us need to think about voting the day after the last election. And that means speaking truth to power, or maybe just speaking truth. And who knows, after January 20th, let us hope at least that there may be brighter days ahead, but we can only hope. Dr. Greg Carr, Tim Williams, thank you both so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And please stay safe.
Okay, you too.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, January 6th. Incredible day in history. 2021. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.